You are listening to episode freaking 50 of the FitzPro podcast, and today we are talking all about pain. It is strangely one of my favorite topics to talk about, and if you've ever been in pain and or you're a coach who works with people who might be in pain, or you're a human being and have experienced any level of emotional pain, today's episode is going to be for you, and we're going to talk about some mindset shifts and three truths that may benefit you to start believing around pain. So, without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitzPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitzPro. The topic of pain is so important to discuss as professionals in the health and fitness industry, as well as just existing as human beings. If you are a human, you've experienced pain. And it's so multifaceted because pain is, in a physical and emotional sense, a perception. It's completely subjective, which for me is beautiful because it really takes away the comparison of one person's pain to another, because we cannot quantify if someone's pain is worse than another person's pain, which I personally am a fan of. So my objective today is to challenge some of your beliefs around pain from both a fitness or physical and emotional viewpoint, and to hopefully give you some efficacy within your pain. You'll be able to look back and reflect on past experiences with pain, as well as be better equipped the next time that pain enters your life, again from a physical or emotional perspective, because you're a human and pain is going to happen. I have to state that I am not a doctor or a psychiatrist or mental health care professional of any kind. I am just a girl who has experienced her fair share of pain via injuries and life experience, and I happen to be a certified strength and conditioning specialist who has one puny year of internship in a physical therapy clinic as the performance coach, a whole lot more time as a patient in physical therapy, cue torn LCL, meniscus, four broken arms, years of ankle sprains, and a double rollover car accident, after which I went on to compete with my team at a competitive cheerleading competition, ending in a neck brace, followed by 9 months of chiropractic PT and massage, 3 days per week, and disc injuries ever since. So that lovely list is certainly not to brag or boast, but simply to say that I am not whipping this pain stuff out of thin air. I am speaking from experience, both as a repeatedly injured human and as a current strength professional who does not want you to be in pain and or be a victim to your pain, more importantly. Okay, now that we cleared up that this is not medical advice or mental health advice, let's dive into the three things that I think are monumentally powerful when talking about pain and how we experience it. And these are all huge for coaches or professionals who work with humans that may experience pain in the gym. So listen up. I also want to give credit where credit is due. I have had these beliefs for the better part of 10 years, but they were definitely reinstilled in me at Prehab 101 with Dr. Jacob Harden back in September of 2019, and some of the verbiage that I may use could be from him. So strength coaches, PTs, chiros, go follow Jacob, Dr. Jacob Harden on Instagram. I'll make sure to link him in the show notes and his course, Prehab 101. I highly suggest it. If you are looking for another organization of professionals in line with these philosophies, check out the Active Life RX. They are doing very big things as well. And I actually just completed their immersion course for coaches, where we touched a lot on client communication and efficacy and programming around pain. So, holy cow, let's get into number one. I swear there will be tactical takeaways from today's episode. It's what I'm all about. So, number one is accepting and getting in the mindset that you are not your injury or your diagnosis. That might sound simple, but it can be freaking profound because it is way too common for people to identify with their injury or their diagnosis. So hear me out. I believe this is for physical pain as well as emotional pain. You experience depression. You are not depressed, right? You have a disc injury currently, and you go around saying, I have a bad back. Like it can't be fixed. Like there is no possible light at the end of the tunnel. Okay? That's not to belittle the pain. Stick with me. You are more than one aspect of your life. I don't struggle with anxiety or depression, and there are many other types of emotional pain and distress that someone can experience. If you're a human, you probably have some baggage and have had, you know, some experience with pain in some facet of your life, because as I believe, it's a part of the human experience, right? The human existence. Pain is part of it. And it is imperative that you view pain as an experience and not as a permanent condition. Now, if we get into the weeds here and talk terminal illness or injury, it could get dicey, and I respect that, but that is also not what I am referring to here. My point is that when you make it a permanent thing, you've removed the possibility of change. You've already limited yourself, and ultimately, I don't think that's what you want. So, plain and simple, that's number one. You are not your injury or condition, and it will likely suit you to not identify with that pain or condition, right? You are a whole human. So, moving on to number two, you have a sensation of pain. Pain is subjective, both in the physical and emotional side of things, like I stated at the start of this episode, and they can 100% be intertwined, the physical and the emotional. I'll explain that in depth. On the fitness side, this pain can more often than not be addressed with proper load, volume, and dosage of exercise or resistance training or whatever, meaning the weight that you use, how much work is being done, the volume, and how often, the frequency or the dosage. Hear me now. This was said at Prehab 101 and it blew my freaking mind. And even though on an anatomical level, I already knew this. It was so profound to me and so simple, and it just hit home, so I want to share it with you. Pain does not equal tissue damage, and tissue damage does not equal pain. I'm going to repeat that, okay? Pain does not equal tissue damage. Tissue damage does not equal pain. We can have pain without damage and damage without pain. I have degenerative menisci in both knees, but I have no knee pain, right? Tissue damage, no pain. I have shoulder pain from time to time in the absence of any tissue damage. I had an MRI. Everything is fine, yet I experience pain. Okay, so absence of tissue damage can have pain. And tissue damage does not have to equal pain. My degenerative menisci, and which is clearly tissue damage, yet I have no pain. So, pain is a sensory response and is multifaceted. The way that we as coaches and practitioners frame what we may or may not be seeing or think is going on with a client's body can have a huge influence on how they perceive that pain going forward. The words we use and our demeanor is very important. And this is something I wasn't good at early on in my career and something that I take the most seriously now. We hopefully at all times want to be building client efficacy, right? Educating them and not leaving them in the dark around their injury, around their options, around their rehab plan, whatever it is. We want to make them feel empowered without belittling the pain that they are indeed experiencing, right? We want to give them that experience because pain is real, although it is subjective. On a personal note, this is going to be a little tangent. My chiropractor, after an L4-5 injury and some considerable SI pain that I had after a squatting incident years ago, my chiropractor is what I hope other chiropractors aspire to be like. Context is important, so I'm going to lay this out for you. I was a senior in college getting my exercise and sports science degree at the time, and I was interning at University of Portland as a strength and performance coach, which is also how I got word of this chiropractor. You might know him. If not, look him up immediately. He has a course called Fix Your Own Back. His name is Dr. Philip Snell, and his goal was to get me back under a barbell. Remember, the injury came, it appeared after squatting, but it was from a lot of different things. But his goal was to get me back under a barbell and never need to visit his office again. That is what I needed and is what I was looking for and expected out of a healthcare professional. I needed a trusted doctor to tell me that I would squat again and deadlift again, not to tell me that, oh, you just need to stop doing those things, right? You just need to rest for 12 weeks. And then what? Right? I hate that answer so much. Anyway, you know, he told me that yes, I could have surgery, but I didn't need it. And it was as simple as retraining my body to understand a few things that I'd been missing before. We needed to teach my body that spinal flexion was safe, that hinging was safe, right? Hip hinging. That wording that he used empowered me. It didn't give me false hope. I don't want you to think that either. But he made clear the work that needed to be done in order to get those things to happen, right? So that messaging would have been so different than a doctor telling me, which I have had plenty of times in the past, to stop moving or avoid those movements. Oh, just don't squat anymore. Okay, do you understand what that means for me? Like, that is a huge, impactful statement. So we need to make sure we're not just throwing around verbiage like that. So like I said, him telling me that he was going to get me under a barbell and this is what was going to have to happen did not give me false hope, right? It was very clear that it was going to take a lot of work and a lot of diligence. But I at least understood that, and it gave me empowerment and it gave me efficacy in my rehab plan. Now, because of my background and my eagerness to learn and apply whatever the heck he was going to have me do, we worked together to create my rehab plan that was 12 to 16 weeks long with a very extensive warm-up, core and bracing work, a lot of work on my adductors. We changed my squat stance completely. So, like I said, it was a very interactive partnership, kind of. And I get that that won't happen for everyone, but, you know, I do encourage you to really try and find a healthcare practitioner who is about getting you back to doing whatever it is that you want to do and knows how to communicate with you. If that is not your chiropractor, stop and research to find one who empowers you versus just, you know, popping your friggin' back and saying, see you next week. That's not a chiropractor, right? Not in my eyes, not with my expectations. So like I said, you might not have as interactive of a situation that I had, but I do think that you should feel empowered by your healthcare practitioners, especially around pain, without giving false hope. Like, I hope that they make it, you know, they give you some real talk on what it's going to take to get wherever it is that you're trying to go. So to close out point two, pain is a sense. It's a perception and does not mean tissue damage. It's simply a signal that something, somewhere, might need attention. Moving on to our last truth about pain, you might not like this one, but this is my podcast and I believe it to be so freaking true to the depths of my very soul. So here we go. Our belief and expectations around pain are the most important and definitely affect the outcome of our pain or rehab or whatever we are experiencing. Expect pain, probably gonna feel pain. Expect to improve pain, focus on other aspects of the lift or movement, you will probably have less pain. Probably building a higher threshold and or tolerance to that pain, and you're probably winning if that's the take that you choose to have on your pain or around your pain. It doesn't mean that we ignore pain or belittle pain. It simply means that we can become hyper aware and hypersensitized to a movement causing pain to the point that we expect that pain to happen, that we associate deadlifts with back pain, right? You experienced pain or got injured deadlifting, and now you expect to have pain when you deadlift, even lightweight. You were told not to squat by the doctor, so you expect to feel pain in your knees when you squat. It's a thing and it's not helping you. I am sure if you've had an injury from a given movement, you have experienced this to some extent. Your beliefs can be monumental when it comes to pain. And you might dismiss that, yet you believe things like acupuncture fix your pain. Again, hear me out. This is also why, this is kind of like a number three and a half. Most passive treatment works as a placebo. Don't turn me off. Listen to me. For fitness, this is massage, foam rolling, acupuncture, etc. Tissue is not being altered. But that doesn't mean that they don't relieve pain temporarily, right? You do feel better. Just know the why. It is because these treatments, these passive treatments, these placebo effects turn up a competing noise to your pain, and you gain a sensory response, lowering your perception of pain after the treatment. That's why foam rolling works. It's why acupuncture works. If we make any tissue adaptations, it will be long-term through active resistance training. I hope you heard that, but I'm going to repeat it just in case you didn't. If we make any tissue adaptations, it will be long-term through active resistance training. This is a little different with life pain, obviously, but I want to touch on the fact that quote-unquote time in both instances can get more credit than it deserves, in my opinion. Quote unquote, just give it time. This may be true in some instances with injury, like an acute injury, but at some point you must work. The injury is there for a reason, and now we need to enter back in and find an appropriate load capacity ratio and build from there. Right? What is the load, the volume, and the dosage that we can tolerate, and then we can build from there? That's talking on the physical side of things. You'll have to do the work. You have to do the hard stuff. If you just let time run its course, you will likely experience the same injury over and over and over again. The same is true for pain in your life, right? If you've gone to quality counseling, you know that time is not a match for doing the dirty work. Time will, yes, lessen the maybe intensity of a emotional pain that you are feeling. But the work that brings it all up so that you can process it and find where the pain is coming from and work in that, that's where the magic happens. So maybe you've been hurt by a very important person in your life, a person who was supposed to be safe. That freaking hurts. That's scary. That sucks really bad. And you're going to have some feels about that, right? And if you don't do the work to relearn that close relationships can indeed be safe, if you don't redeem that, you will either avoid them forever or continue in a cycle of finding unsafe humans to get close to, and or you'll find humans and then push them away, right? We've seen it. All of us have probably experienced it to some extent. I know I have. But again, I am not a doctor, physical doctor, doctor of medicine, or a psychiatrist or a mental health professional. So take this with, you know, as much aggressiveness, as much truth as you wish. But as a human who has done some hard work on both the emotional and the physical side of experiencing pain, I just see a lot of parallels between the two. And I have found that when we do the long term, the sucky, boring, sometimes painful work, we both have less pain and are better equipped to handle pain when it comes around a second, third, fourth, fifth time. Pain is a sensitive subject. Do you get it? Do you get it? It's a sensory sensitive. Anyway, but it's one worth talking about, especially for those of us in the health and fitness industry. So I hope that today's episode was helpful, insightful, or reassuring. I hope you took one little nugget from it. I know that a lot of the things, you know, parallel what I've discussed in both the Active Life Immersion course and in Jacob Harden's Prehab 101 course. I really, you know, enjoyed both of those, and I think that they bring up important conversations around pain. So share this with your friends. Head over to iTunes and give it 5 stars, the Fitzrow podcast, 5 stars, a written review. I'll have to come up with another giveaway soon for incentive to leave a review, but you all are amazing. If you're dealing with pain, I'm here for you. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the Fitzpro podcast.